Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And in studio today, I actually have one of my younger sons.
Hello.
You're supposed to introduce yourself, son.
My name is Evan.
Evan Christian Carlisle. Mm-hmm. You know, every now and again, I like to have my kids on the show because it's, you know, gives everybody an opportunity to meet them and give them an opportunity as well to talk on air and, you know, kind of do their personalities. And as parents, a lot of times we kind of disregard sometimes that our kids have anything good to say. So do you remember years ago when I used to ask, you know, how I was doing as a parent and what I need to do stronger at or more or less of? Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Okay.
Well, first off, tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 12 years old.
You're 12 years old. And you are going to what school?
I go to Julian Charter School.
And that's a new school for you, right?
Yeah.
So it's two schools in 2 years. And that's kind of different. Mm-hmm. Don't particularly like that too much, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but which school did you like better? Because you went to a different middle school.
Day middle school, yeah.
How did you like that compared to the school that you're at right now?
I didn't really like it because of the lunch. Didn't really taste good. And like, because some of the kids, they weren't really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Then this school is kind of way better because some of the kids are nice. Some of them aren't. And it's good because the food is good. Because it comes from like different restaurants around the town. And yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same, right? Because you got people that you like, people that you don't like. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like regular life, right? You often find people that you do like, and there's people out there that you don't like.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to like and be around everybody?
No.
No. Now, what does the Bible say about how we should treat people and how we should feel about people?
Treat people the way you would want to be treated.
Yeah, and the Bible says we need to love people, right? Mm-hmm. But when the Bible says loving people, does that mean that we've got to be all up in their face all the time?
And no.
Even when they treat us bad, or you talk about us, you know, even want to make us in danger of our lives and want to fight. Are we supposed to be around them all the time?
No.
But we have to love them, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of love is that? Is it the kind of love that you have for God that we should have for them, or is the kind of love that we kind of have for like somebody real romantic and that brotherly friendly love?
The love, I think it's a love that we have for God.
Exactly. Very good. Very, very good. So do you have some people that you know that are difficult to love?
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but he goes to my school and a couple of days starting the school year, he wasn't really nice to me. He threatened me like, he said he would choke me and hurt me.
He said that to you?
Yeah, like in my face. And then when I told the teacher, he lied about it. Like, he lied in her face that he said he didn't do that even though he did.
Wow. Wow. Did you tell the teacher that he said those things?
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, no, I didn't say that. No, I didn't. He's lying.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean, how are you guys' relationship now? Are you able to work through difficulties with him, or is he still giving you a really hard time?
I'm able to work with him, but then there's just some few times where I just don't want to work with him, and he's hard to work with.
Okay. Well, what have you been able to do in that relationship to get around the bad and make it a better relationship?
Sometimes if he needs something, I'll go over there and, like, ask him and help him. But then just sometimes that if I'm just, like, if he'll bother me, like, I'm trying to work, then I'll just, like, ignore him and try to do my work. But most of the time, sometimes I'll just, when he says he needs help with something and it's, like, school-related, then I'll go over there, try to help him. If I can't, I'll say, ask the teacher, she'll know.
Now, does he make a habit of coming to ask you specifically for help?
Or no.
Don't?
Okay. He asked some of my friends to help. Yeah.
Oh, so when he does that, do you get involved in that, or you just kind of like ignore it and you just kind of do your own thing?
I just ignore and do my own thing.
Okay. So you don't actually have a lot of time around him now, or do you?
No, I don't have a lot of time near him.
Well, that's awesome because your school is
really small school.
Really small school. Yeah. So
maybe like 23 kids each class, four teachers, three grades. Four teachers and maybe 23 kids in each class.
So it's a good opportunity, really, for you to be able to learn to work with difficult people.
Yeah.
Because in life, we're going to have difficult people to work with on a regular, whether it be, you know, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be somebody that lives in the room with you or not, mm-hmm. right? Do you ever find it difficult to work with your brothers, the same thing?
Yeah, sometimes.
So what do you do when you have difficult times with your brothers?
Try to, like, ignore it. I try not to get into big fights, but then when we do, it doesn't seem good.
It doesn't seem good? Or
well, it's not good.
Oh. How do you guys resolve it?
Ignoring each other.
Do you think that's a good way to handle it? Or no. Do you think there's a better way to handle it?
There's a better way to handle it.
So what should you do when you have conflict with somebody? What should we really do?
Maybe, like, apologize. If say sorry or, like, apologize and see if you did something bad. And, like, just find a better way to, like, be nice to them.
Now, what if you didn't? If you knew that you didn't do anything to them.
Then you should probably say sorry too, because so it'll be over faster.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, do I ever piss you off?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah,
sometimes. What do I do to piss you off?
Sometimes, trying to figure it out.
Which should be pretty easy if I piss you off.
I guess sometimes when we're in the car and we're driving and we get like some place that I don't like.
Oh, food?
Yeah, some place that I don't like, some food place, like somewhere where I don't want to go.
Like Jack in the Box?
Yeah, like Panda Express, something like that. That's when I get mad and like, I don't want to go there. I'm like, I don't want to go there. I already ate.
Oh, but you don't even eat though.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to eat there, but then yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But then once I get it, I soon eat it.
Well, if you're hungry, you're going to eat what's provided for you.
Yeah.
Well, what other things that I do that make you frustrated or make it difficult sometimes to love your dad?
I guess sometimes around the house. Sometimes when I actually don't know.
What about doing your chores? Do you like to do your chores?
Sometimes yeah, sometimes no, but I know I have to get it done. And okay, there's one. Sometimes when you say, I got to do my chores and I'm in a game, I have to go downstairs, do my chores, and that kind of gets me mad. Yeah. I know it gets Jackson and Ryan mad.
Well, but do you have a certain time that you guys are actually supposed to do your chores?
I guess after showers, which is like 7:30 or like...
Or 8:30 actually, yeah. Right? So if you get so.
Or like if we want to get it done earlier and then if you're out, like get it done like before you get home so you don't get mad.
Yeah. Or before. Now, what do I always kind of help you guys, try to help you guys do, encourage you guys to do after we eat?
Clean up your mess so you wouldn't have to, so you wouldn't get frustrated and so you don't have to yell at us.
Yeah. So if the thought is after we eat, so we actually have a game plan mm-hmm. then, right? That after we eat, we'll do our chores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what time was dinner then?
6:30.
No,
6:20.
Almost.
6.
You all made the time in the thing.
I think it's 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Yes. So our listeners out there, what we did as a family, we just, the kids asked, you know, can we eat more together as a group? Mm-hmm. And
because sometimes we'll all eat dinner at different times. Sometimes you'll eat upstairs in your room. We'll be playing games, and then late in the night before bed, we'll eat, and which is not good. And then, so that's why we scheduled it to 6 o'clock, so where we all can eat at the same time. And so on regular basis, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have no phones at the table. But then on Sundays, we have phones at the table.
Yeah. So if we have those rules, right, in place, and then... Let's go back up. Why do you think we made those rules? What was the reasoning for making a single dinner time together?
Because most of us, like, we'll do our own thing, and we need to do more because we barely do anything as a family, and we need to start doing more things as a family, like eating together, going places together, like mm-hmm. fun places together, not just going, like, say I was going to Legoland or somewhere with my friends, and I couldn't take anybody else because it was just us. We would need to, like, do more things as a family. So if I didn't go with my friends, I want to go with my family and do more things with you guys.
Now, why is that important? Is it important to go and do things as a family, or is it just important. Just do whatever you want to do, just willy-nilly.
It's important to do things with your family, because if you're not with your family, you don't know what to do, and you can, like, get lost or something. And, like, you'll, like, be sad because you won't be with family. Like, you won't have anybody to comfort you.
Okay. Now, what else is important about family? Because we're together pretty much all the time, mm-hmm. even though we may not be all up in people's space. Because I'm not a gamer. You guys mm-hmm. are gamers. So you yeah. and your brothers, you guys spend a lot more time in the same space.
Yeah.
In fact, you and Jackson share a room. So your space is definitely a shared experience. Mm-hmm. But we all need space, you know, from sometimes. Each other.
Yeah.
So we don't do bad things yeah. to each other. Or choke you out because you're there all the time. We've had that tight space before, right? Mm-hmm. We lived in a extremely small space for five people.
Yeah.
Now, how does that feel, living in the tight space versus living in a slightly bigger space that we live in now?
Because I know that when we lived in that tight space, there was, like, bad vibes there. Mm-hmm. Every time we went there, everybody would either be yelling at each other, hurting each other, or, like, doing something mean.
Yeah.
And then when we got into this house now, it's good vibes. Barely anybody's yelling at each other. Barely anybody's hurting each other, and that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we weren't rolling around in the aisles throwing things, but when you're living on top of each other like we had for that mm-hmm. year,
yeah.
and the circumstances by which we had to live there,
mm-hmm.
it was a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
I think we took our frustrations about where we lived out.
And put it in, use it, like, through it, like, hurt and put it against one another.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I think some of the things that as families that we do is we hurt the ones sometimes that are closest to us the most. Because
yeah.
I think I asked you guys before, is that would you guys treat your friends the way you treat each other sometimes? And the answer is always
no.
Exactly. So as we look at family, I know, and why do you think we would do that to each other and hurt each other the most and say some of the nastiest things to one another?
Maybe because it's probably because of something about stress or something, and when we find someone closest to us, we put that on somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's a good answer. Now, we're going to talk more about that when we get back from the break. Talk more about family. And how do we make ourselves better? And how to do better together?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Craig Carlisle and the Raising Men Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm Craig Carlisle, your host. And in studio, I have my 12-year-old, this year actually number 4 in line, Evan Carlisle.
Hi.
And we're talking today about, you know, parents. And every now and again, I like to make sure that I do like one of those wellness checks. Because you have insurance, or, you know, if you don't have insurance, we all need to have medical insurance, mm-hmm. you know, health, vision, dental. Make sure that you're doing well. And every year, you know, we as men need to go out and get our annual checkups to make sure we're doing well, make sure our body is physically healthy. With our families, we should do the same, right? We should do a wellness check to make mm-hmm. sure how are we doing as a family. Because as we were just talking in the last segment, just before break, we just talked about how family has a tendency to hurt each other the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an opportunity really where people as family members think that our family's always going to be there. And we, whenever, no matter what, and we have this right to say something very nasty to each other for no doggone good reason. Mm-hmm. Just because we're entitled to. And that's not right. Mm-hmm. That is not right. And I know I've asked you guys before, son, if you and your brothers weren't brothers and you met them out in the street or out in a school somewhere, do you think that you guys would actually be friends?
It's possible, but I mean, we probably would and probably become good friends, but I'm not sure though, because sometimes if we weren't brothers and we did meet each other like in a school or something, the easiest one to become friends with would probably be Jackson.
Because he's in your same age group.
Yeah, but then the hardest ones would probably be Ryan and Caden, because they're older, more mature, and they would be able, they'd be talking to more friends.
Yeah.
And like more people, so it would kind of be hard to like become friends with them, but Jackson would be the easiest.
And that makes sense, because you guys are, you and Jackson are almost 2 years apart.
Yeah.
But you to Ryan, you know, that's a, there's a number of years there, and even you and Caden there, mm-hmm. and then with Shane is even more. Mm-hmm. So as a family, we have to be deliberate about the time that we spend together and make sure we stay connected and grow, because you guys aren't the same people that you were when you were like five, mm-hmm. right? Because you're 12 now.
Yeah.
So the same things that you used to do at five, you don't really do a lot mm-hmm. at 12. But now Caden and Ryan are, well, Ryan's 13, getting ready to turn 14, and Caden just turned 15. Mm-hmm. So what he does is a little different than what you guys do, mm-hmm. what you and Jackson do. So what do you think, as a family we should do more of to stay connected?
I would say is be nicer to each other, treat people the way you would want to be treated, and maybe have more game nights.
Okay.
Like watching movies, board games.
So not the like, video game night.
No. We play video games way more than we talk to friends. Way more than we talk to family. Like, I just called my auntie today, and we play video games way more than we talk to family, talk to friends, talk to anybody, and that we need to stop playing. I mean, that doesn't mean stop playing video games like forever. That mm-hmm. just means stop playing it just for a little bit. Talk to family. Have board games, have movie nights, go fun places with family.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So how do we do that? Is it just going to magically happen?
No, we just have to get through like the stuff that we're going through. And then like maybe we should probably schedule game nights, something like that.
So we have to be intentional.
Yeah.
So we have to make it a point to, yes, you know, we're going to do this tonight. We're going to mm-hmm. purposely talk to whomever. And now I ask you this, but I know the answer. Do I ever encourage you guys to contact your relatives?
Yes.
Because you can't expect people to call you all the time. Mm-hmm. Now there's times, and I'm guilty of this. I can definitely admit it, where I want people to call me, because I'll get those moments when I just want to draw back in a shell and not come out. Mm-hmm. But you can't expect people to do that for you all the time. Mm-hmm. We've got to be able to come out of our shell and meet them as well and come check on them, because other people are hurting probably just like us, mm-hmm. right?
And you can't just call somebody and ask them, can you just take me somewhere? Because we all do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just call somebody, like say, you can't just call your uncle and be like, oh yeah, can you take me to my friend's house, please? Because my dad can't take me.
Yeah. Well, you can, but it's a lot
like
easier to do when you have a relationship that you've nurtured with somebody,
and
right?
When say for an instance, when you ask them to take you somewhere and you don't call them like that, and it's your birthday, yeah. they don't call you, then you'll feel like, oh, why are they doing that? And then you'll realize, oh yeah, now I know why they're doing that, because I only called them, either I didn't call them on their birthday, or I only called them because of I wanted them to take me somewhere.
Yeah, because you call them when you want something.
Yeah.
Now, how does it feel? Now, let me ask, that's a good question. It's a good statement. Do you have anybody that you currently have that you deal with in your life that only calls you when they want something?
Yeah, actually. Okay. There's one kid at my school, I'm not going to say his name, but there's one kid at my school that does that. He calls me only for homework. I mean, okay, now I can say this kid's name because he's like really nice.
Or this way. There's a kid that you know that only calls you when he wants something.
There's a kid that I know when I only call something. And then my friend that plays hockey, he's a really nice kid, really nice. I've been to his house a bunch of times, nice family, nice brothers. And now he calls me like to talk for a little bit, and then we play some games. He doesn't just call me for homework or like this other kid, my friend, that just calls me, that just wants to play video games.
Okay.
He calls me because he wants to talk to me.
See how you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, do you call him?
Yes.
Just to see how he's doing and stuff? So how is that relationship then with a person who calls to check on you to see how you're doing versus a person who just calls when they want something? Like when you see the person who you talk to regularly, their name come across your phone, how do you feel?
The person I talk to regularly when I see them across my phone, it makes me feel good because they called me and I'm just not calling them all the time. Mm-hmm. Like they're calling me just to check on me versus the person who doesn't call me. It makes me feel kind of upset kind of because they only want to call me if they want something like money or like they want homework answers. That kind of makes me feel upset and mad.
Now, does it feel like, so it makes you feel like they're kind of using you or? Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you set a healthy boundary? Because that's probably what we all need to do with people who hurt us or people who don't treat us the way we want to be treated. That includes your brothers in the house, your brother who's not in the house with us, older than us, older than you anyway. How do you set a healthy boundary with someone to make sure that they know that certain behaviors not liked or tolerated?
Maybe calling them often, like...
No, wait, let me ask you, make sure you understand. If someone's doing something to you that you don't like...
Oh, then... I mean, then you want to maybe say please, like, in, like, a calmly manner, not yelling at them, like, hey, I want you to do this, like...
Right.
Like, calming, like, down, like, talking to them in, like, a calmly manner, like, saying, hey, can you please not do this anymore? I really don't like it, and it kind of gets me frustrated, and I'm not going to yell at you, but it gets me frustrated that you're doing this, so could you please stop? Like, don't yell at them to the point where, like, they'll want to yell at you, like, and hurt you. You want to talk to them nicely.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it possible that some of those friends that only call to do one thing, do you think that they even understand that bothers you?
Probably no. They probably don't understand that bothers them. They're probably like, okay, yeah, it doesn't bother him. Just keep calling him, asking him for homework.
Or video games.
Yeah. They'll only know if you tell them or if they kind of like, they'll only know if you tell them. Be like, hey, it's kind of bothering me that you're only calling me because you want homework or you want to play video games. You should call me more and see how I'm doing.
And likewise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these people that you are playing and talking to or working with, are they people that you would want to spend a lot more time with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you would consider them to be friends of yours?
Yeah.
Okay, so you actually want more from that friend than that friend may actually understand. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we put that into practice?
We'll say talking to them more, going like visiting them more, asking them how they're doing more, and like maybe scheduling some days that you can like do fun things with them more.
Okay, with and without video games.
Yeah.
Or with or without whatever that thing is that they call about.
Yeah.
All the time, just a single thing.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I had to have some people, when they do that to me, I hate when a person calls or I call and or if I see you in person, we get right into the meat of the matter. Like, what happened to the salutation? What happened to the hello? What happened to the how you doing? And I'm fine too. Thank you very much for asking. And I've had to do that with people too. They call me and they go out into the, I need this and they need that. So, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Thank you. Oh, what did you call for again? Oh, you wanted to play video games? Well, okay. Well, what about this first? And you can kind of engage them and kind of set that boundary.
Because I know a couple people that I've done that to somebody before. They like, he calls me. I'm not going to say his name, but he calls me. And he says, hey, you want to play video games? And I said, hi, how are you? He's like, let's play video games. I'm like, can we do this first? He's like, no, let's play video games right now.
So what did you end up doing? Did you give in and just play video games, or did you stop?
I ended the call and I didn't play video games with him because It just annoyed me how much he calls me just to play video games.
And never to see, if nothing else, even ask, how are you doing, Emma?
Yeah.
How was your day?
Yeah, so I just ended the call and I didn't play video games with him. I just went on with my day.
Wow. How long after that did you start playing the game with him again?
Maybe like 2 weeks.
Wow. And so did he change how he talks, or he just dealt with the 2 week gap and...
Just dealt with the 2 week gap. He still doesn't know.
He might be someone that you may consider telling him, hey, when you call, can you at least say hi?
Yeah. No, don't just go like, don't just cut. I know like we should cut to the chase. Like if you're talking in a long conversation, they only have like a little bit of time, but like if you're on the phone and you just want to play video games, like just say, hi, how are you doing? How's your day? How's life? Like, don't be like, want to do this? Want to do that?
Yeah. It's good manners. My parents used to say it's good manners, right? Mm-hmm. But in your generation now, there's a lot of lack of manners.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of kids that are like at the dinner table, like at a restaurant, just looking at their phone, texting people, and just not even caring about what the world does. Just like letting things go right past them.
Now, let me ask you this. That's a key point. When you're at school, does that happen when you get to the lunch table?
Actually, yeah. There's a bunch of kids on their phones. Like I'll even be on my phone sometimes. Like, I'll be watching, like, YouTube, maybe listening to music, maybe watching Netflix. But, like, I won't be on the time where, like, I'll be looking at it 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, I won't be, like this, like... And then when somebody says something, be, like... And say nothing. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody says something, like, say something back. Like, don't just sit there or, like, stand there and say nothing. Like, say something or, like, do something nice.
They say interact, talk, mm-hmm. do something. Now we're getting ready.
Don't be antisocial.
Don't be antisocial. That's key, because in your group, in your age group right now, phones, social media is huge. Mm-hmm. Number of likes, followers, and things like that are at the forefront.
Oh, like Fortnite.
Oh, Fortnite. Right. Yeah, how many kills do you? How many solo wins do you have?
Yeah, like how many skins do you have? How many wins do you have? Like all that. Like, ooh, what kind of guns do you have? Yeah.
And even though, and there's nothing wrong with the video games. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to parents out there say ban the game, but at some point, we need to find some social media, some social graces, and return back to what made our cultures and society great, which was the interaction between, mm-hmm. the healthy interaction between. Yeah. We're going to go to break again. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about social graces for this generation, and hope you're enjoying your time on the Raise Your Men Show.
Mm-hmm. Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Raising Men Show. We're in segment 3 and having a great time in here with my 12-year-old son. We're having a good conversation and like a wellness check as to where I am as a dad, where we are as a family, some indictments on just our culture and his generation right now and what we should and should be doing. We've talked about the importance of reconnecting, right? Sitting mm-hmm. at the table, having conversation, interacting with people, plugging back into life and disconnecting a little bit more from social media.
Yeah.
Now, again, nothing wrong with social media. Not banging on any of those opportunities. There's some great things that we can do using those tools. But there's some really great things we can do interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
Some really great people sit right next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in your case, in the same room with you,
mm-hmm.
in the same house, same school, same community.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that these online video games and the obsession with those, social media and the obsession with those, the obsession with how many likes and followers you have, do you think that's changed how people talk to each other face to face?
Definitely, because they'll be on social media with their family, probably at a dinner table, like I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just be looking at it the whole time, not even caring what other people say.
Do you find yourself in that situation? Do you find people texting each other and having longer text conversations on with your fingers than actually with your voices?
And most of the time, they're right next to each other. And, like, I'll do that sometimes.
Sure.
And most of the time, people are just texting each other, and they're right next to each other, which doesn't make sense at all. And some, like, I think that's bad. Like, that you're on social. Like, I'm not saying that, like, it's bad to be on social media.
Sure.
But, like, I think it's bad just to be on social media at the dinner table and, like, while you're, like, someone's talking to you.
So, let me ask you this. Is it safe to say that sometimes we're a different person on social media and on text than we are in person?
Yes.
Do you have an example of how people are different in a game than they are next to you?
Yeah. Like, say, here's an example for, like, social media, like Instagram. Kids do way more things than they do in person. So, they'll post something doing bad, and then when you see them in real life, they'll be, like, someone really, really nice. But then, when they're on Instagram, their personality changes, like, in 1 second.
Wow. Is that a good thing, to not be who you really are?
No. That's not a good thing.
So, with your generation right now, the whole social media generation, how do we help people be who they're supposed to be?
I would say maybe telling them to put the phone down or, like, taking it away from them for a couple of days. But I know that if you take that away from teenagers especially, they'll throw, like, a big fit and, like, get really upset.
Kind of raging.
Yeah. And so, I know that that could be, and you'll say, and the teenager will say, oh, you made a big mistake, and, like, and that yet they'll do nothing. And I say I'm not saying that raging is good, but, like, saying taking the phone away and kind of telling them to interact with people.
Yeah.
What they should do is put people in front of them and see how they act when people in front of them against when they're on their phone or, like, when they have their headset on talking to people. Like, say for an instance, you put other people in front of them, see how they socialize.
Yeah.
Against putting their mic on and talking to people online, like on the internet.
Oh, that's good, because I've heard some of the language on some of these games that some of these players use.
Yeah.
And I know I've come around and told you guys that when I've heard that, it's like, get off. That's mm-hmm. not what we're going to do, because I don't want that language as a predominant use for you all anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you guys to be who you are everywhere you are.
Yeah.
Because, and it's funny because some of these kids nowadays, even not just kids, as adults, people mm-hmm. are playing, gaming, they're streaming their matches.
Yeah.
What if their parents heard some of their language in some of these matches?
I know they'll be in big trouble, first of all. Especially if they're, like, little kids.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, little kids on streams cursing, saying inappropriate things that they shouldn't be saying at that age. And I've even seen some kids say that and their parents walking in and hearing them.
What happened? What has happened then?
They come up with a lie and be like, oh no, I didn't say that. He forced me to. I've seen it a bunch. Like, wow. I've seen it many times.
What do you recommend in helping kids your age? Because it's to me, it almost sounds partially like peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also sounds like people don't like who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be something else on social media? How do you recommend helping people your age with that identity?
First of all, you need to take them to church.
Oh, got it.
And then maybe telling them, like teaching them, telling them what would happen if you said that in front of parents, adults, like, and other people that are like idols and something like that.
Sure. Now let me ask you this. Why do you think people who are in those environments, whether it be gaming or social media, why do you think they're different in that environment versus if you had them in the room with you?
Well, I think they're different because they want to show people how cool they are.
And how's it, how, either is it how cool they are?
Oh, show them. Well, show them if they're cool or not. Like, and then tell them, like, be like, oh, yeah, I do this because I'm cool. I can do whatever I want and my parents won't care.
Mm.
That's not true. When they're off online, they do everything. Their personality changes in like a second.
And that's unfortunate because, and I encourage you guys to not do that. Mm-hmm. I encourage everyone to not do that because you've got to be the same person inside. That's one of the things I used to tell you guys when we used to do these wellness checks before,
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to be a different father and person to you all in the house that I am outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you all to not think of me as a fraud. I don't want to be a fake to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the same dude that was your dad. If I'm going to rage about trash and chores here at the house, then I need to rage about chores and trash outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
If I want you guys to make your bed, I need to make my bed.
Mm-hmm.
If I want you guys to clean your bathroom, I need to clean my bathroom, my mm-hmm. toilet.
We can't be hypocrites.
No. And I wouldn't want you all to be hypocrites, ever.
And then that's also one thing that you used to do that got me mad. You always used to tell us, oh, I want you to do this. I want you to make your beds. I want you to clean your bathroom. I want you to clean your room. But then yet your bathroom was dirty and then you also didn't do that stuff. So that's also another thing that got me frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But then now I know that we all have to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I want to make sure whatever I'm asking you all to do, I've either done it or I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Pick up the paper off the floor. I didn't leave the paper on the floor. Whose paper is this? And that's why I ask so much, whose is this? Not from the standpoint of calling somebody out, but I want to make sure that if this, whoever this stuff is, not that we as a team can't help each other,
because
I don't mind helping each other pick up stuff, but if the same person is leaving the same stuff around all the time, we need to change that behavior.
Yeah.
We got to.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
And no one wants to be a hypocrite because you'll get caught out for that.
Oh, man. And I don't want
that. Pretty badly.
Yeah, and I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
No one wants that because you'll say, oh, you need to clean your room and your room is dirty. And then they find out that you weren't doing that. Then you'll say, oh, you're being a hypocrite. And then you'll get called out pretty badly for that. I've seen it happen too.
And that's the thing. So like even the days I don't make my bed, I'm like, okay, I need to make my bed. I can't get on them about making their bed. Mm-hmm. But now there's some circumstances when not doing the chores is necessary, right?
And I know some parents, I'm not saying you do it, but I know some parents say that when they tell their kids to do something and like say it's their mess that they made, they'll say, pick that up, or like they let the fridge open. Yeah. They said, close the fridge. But then you did it. And right. Like, I don't care. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want.
And that's bad. Yeah. That's being really hypocritical right there. Because our schedule gets kind of crazy, especially, mm-hmm. Tuesday nights with youth group, Wednesday night with youth group, Thursday night I've got class.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday, work at the church. There's certain instances when chores can be pushed,
mm-hmm.
Picked up at another time.
And the only acceptance when, like, you say that we have to clean our room, like, we'll clean our room and then, like, after that, we have to instantly leave so you don't have enough time to clean your room.
Yeah.
And we can accept that. Like, yeah. Because you have to be somewhere important for, like, a job or something.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have enough time to clean your room. So, like, okay, then we can do it when we get home. But then if we get home and then you don't do it, then that's kind of being hypocritical.
And that's what makes me rage. Because when I get home, from wherever I've got to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, especially with some of us have schedules, like some of us don't, at the house don't start school till like 9.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then some of us are getting home, you know, 12:30, 1, sometimes even 4:30, depending on the schedule. And the things aren't getting done. So, and you'll know, I don't rage on every single opportunity.
Yeah.
It's like days will go by and I'm like, okay, I know we're busy. I get it. I know we're busy. Okay, I get it. But then some days when we're just chilling.
Yeah.
And there's still junk all over. I don't like to clean. Mm-hmm. I admit it. I don't like it. But my thought is if we do a little bit as often as we can, it doesn't become such a huge mess.
Yeah.
Because we lived in that huge mess. Mm-hmm. When we lived in that smaller place just before here.
Mm-hmm. It was, no one bothered to clean up. No one bothered to pay attention to anything anybody was saying. We just didn't do it.
And that was a bad place. I mean, now granted, we did clean certain places. That place had some issues before we got there. And there was some deep cleaning that needed to be done that, yeah.
None of us wanted to do.
No.
Like cleaning the bathroom, cleaning our rooms.
Yeah.
Like no one wanted to do that because we knew it was frustrating.
It was frustrating. And that was an indictment as to where we were for that season in our life. And that was, and I apologize for you guys for having put you through that season. Mm-hmm. That was something I think as a dad that I really take personally. Mm-hmm. That I feel like I failed in that year. And I realized just how far we had fallen. I'm not saying like, well, we pedestal people. I'm just not saying it at all. I'm saying that mentally, during that year, that was a year of I really don't think I cared a whole lot about a whole lot of things. Mm-hmm. Because we experienced probably the biggest amount of loss ever since your mom passed. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, okay, let me just, if this was rock bottom, that's what rock bottom to me looked like. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't had this person tell me that, oh, if you move into that place where you guys are or, you know, want to go, you'll never get out of there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, how you gonna say that to me? I'm not accepting that curse in my life. I'm mm-hmm. not gonna be here. This was a rock bottom place where I needed to land for a minute till I got my head right again, and there's a restart. Mm-hmm. I need people in my corner that are gonna be, you know, helping me get to the next level, encouraging me. And I want to be an extra dad. I want to be an encourager too. I don't ever want to say you never can do something and make you feel like you're garbage. Mm-hmm. And as parents, we're gonna talk about that in the last segment. How to encourage our kids? And you're listening to Craig Carlisle with my 12-year-old son, Evan.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, Woo-Young Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back. Our last segment here on the Raising Men Show. And I always like to have these wellness checks. So we're doing wellness checks here on the Raising Men Show today with my 12-year-old son. And some of you out there thinking, wellness checks, if you've just tuned in and you're thinking wellness checks, what do you mean? We're not talking about health and fitness like we did with, you know, my trainer Taylor. We're talking about mental, spiritual, emotional health today. Health of our families and mm-hmm. parents. We need to be able to be open and real enough to accept what our kids have to say. You know, and Evan, you feel free. I mean, this is going to air on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You can show up. I'm not going to edit it. I'm going to edit out one of the kids' names we used to protect the innocent. But in the case of everything else, I'm not going to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, taking out the parts of you said something that you don't like that pissed you off that I did. Because mm-hmm. as a parent, we've got to be able to hear that. Mm-hmm. If we're doing wrong as a parent, we're doing wrong. We're not perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, as parents, we need to try harder. And as kids, you all need to try harder. But at the same time, you know what I had to realize for me, for us, that the dinner table meal is what's important. So if I asked you guys, hey, what's important? Ryan kept talking, oh, Dad, I want to have you eat dinner with us. Did you guys ever ask me why I never ate dinner with you?
Mm-mm. Why didn't you?
You want to guess?
Was it work or something? Mm-mm. Or frustration?
It was frustration. And it wasn't frustration towards you all, but it was an opportunity in a point at the Marriott, at the Menifee house, where everything had gotten to be so pressurized. Mom was gone. I was trying to figure out how to, you know, keep things together. I was trying to figure out where I was. I was trying to figure out where each one of you all were. And at that time, Shane was still at the house. And I just needed a minute. And my thought is, if I can just get dinner to the table, or a meal to the table, I accomplished something, and then I can go lay down. Because if you go back to that house, we spent a lot of time together in that house. That house was much, 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 much bigger than the place where we live in now. This place is a nice sized house, but it's not super big.
Yeah. Right?
You all spent a lot of time in my room.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stretch where you and Jackson stayed in my room all the time.
Yeah, we slept in there a bunch.
Yeah. So, and I was laughing. That was the main reason why we even were allowed to help a couple of those families stay in our house for a stretch. Mm-hmm. Because we really weren't using the house.
And I knew what we all can say was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was frustrating for some kids to live in our house that we kind of couldn't, like, they could get along with us, just we couldn't get along with them easy.
Yeah.
And it was just really frustrating.
Yeah. But, and I think too, in their defense, I think our frustration was geared towards our living condition. And nothing wrong with where we were living. It's the hole, I think, that we had left.
Mm-hmm.
That we were trying to figure out what was wrong with us. And I know for me, there was an opportunity for misplaced anger and misplaced aggression. So someone that I didn't get along with, I think they caught the heat that I wanted to point towards your mom for not being there.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, and I think I've told you guys this before. I don't know if you remember, but this is a good time for you to remember, because you'll be able to go back and listen to this stream.
Mm-hmm.
So that even today, I'll find myself raging on you guys. Not because of what you did. The situation that you did was like minor. But it reminded me of something that was your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not that I didn't love your mom. Not that I didn't like what your mom did. It's just, it was something I think that bothered me that she did that I didn't tell her that she did, that we never dealt with, so it wasn't a healthy boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go back and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me angry at me. You follow me?
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to go, ah, and I had nobody, and I take it out on you all.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize for that. And I'm trying not to do that. So my way around it, so you know what's happening, is when I don't say anything right away, something happened, I'll just stop. And I'll kind of and I'll just walk away sometime.
Yeah.
Because I'm processing. And I get that way too. And I know, parents, you have to understand, you've got to tell your kids, because if you don't, your kids are going to think that their parents are crazy and just raising for no reason. And I don't know why, but when I used to think that my parents were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that my mom and dad had everything on lock and everything was cool, until one day I watched them have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, that was bananas. I thought the world was coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to know that when you guys get sick and you find me being short and angry, I can't help because you're sick. You can't help because you're sick.
Yeah.
I'm not mad because you're sick. I could care less that you're sick. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not from the standpoint of, oh, I don't care. I want you to be well. I'll do whatever I can to make you well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But It's a reminder that stands in my face that I'm alone. Mm-hmm. I'm the only parent doing this thing. And trying to juggle. We had one moment when I was trying to juggle, I think getting Jackson, I think, to the doctor's appointment and getting back to pick you guys up from school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was through. But we made it work, though.
Mm-hmm. Especially, here's like an example that I know that got you frustrated. When I kept asking you about that shirt, and I apologize for that. When I kept asking about the shirt, like, oh, can I get that shirt today? Can I get the shirt today? And I know that got you frustrated.
Yeah. Well, you get the shirt. We'll take care of that. But,
yeah.
And not just because you asked me. But one thing that you need to know, though, is that your constant requests, that's actually biblical.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, what I will do, I will commit to posting that as a part of our social media feed, because the Bible speaks that we're supposed to make our requests to our Father God. Mm-hmm. In that manner, constantly asking him for what we want and need. Mm-hmm. And not feel like we should ask, because you ask bold. You don't care. It's like, look, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? It
turned into one of those kids that called me just to play games.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And that to me as a parent gets frustrating, because mm-hmm. it's like, dude, because you hit me on text a couple of those things times without even saying hello.
Yeah.
Can I get the shirt?
Yeah.
Can I get the shirt? Can I get the shirt today?
Yeah. And I
had already told you, you can get the thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And I just kept asking
Now, so to help you, and I appreciate you mm-hmm. apologizing. So to help you know, and when you ask, if I say, hey, hold on a second or whatever, I'm looking at budget. I'm looking at when bills come in. I'm looking at other things.
Yeah.
And $35 for a t-shirt like that was a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get some of that same stuff from wherever. It's going to be the same place. Things are expensive. I get it. But it was more of sometimes just check back in. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, I know I asked about this before and you said I could get it. And you said you didn't give me a time. When is a good time?
Yeah. Instead of just calling saying, can I get this? Can I get this? Can I get this? Instead of saying, hi, how are you? How's your day?
Exactly. Because unfortunately, two of the times when that came across, I was having like one of the world's most crappiest days. And I think that, I can tell you the day, because you'll probably be shocked that it even hit me this way. Because we never talked about it as a family. Mm-hmm. You hit me with those shirt requests across the same two back-to-back weeks when it was mom's birthday week.
Oh, yeah.
And the very following week would have been our 17th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And I was like, I tried my best to keep all that stuff shielded. Mm-hmm. From you all that I was feeling some kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I don't make you guys go to the gravesite anymore. I kind of wait and see who wants to go. Mm-hmm. Or I'll bring it if they want to go and you guys say yes or no and we do or don't go. And I was trying to say, is anybody really paying attention to these dates as they go by?
Yeah.
Or am I the only one getting blown up by this landmine?
Yeah.
And so this year I thought, well, you know what? It feels like I'm the only one mm-hmm. getting jacked up.
Yeah.
So I left it. But then that day that Jackson didn't go to school, mm-hmm. that Thursday, it was like, I had to, because when she passed, I told you guys, we're going to get up every day, we're going to shower, we're going to keep moving, and we'll keep pushing, right? Mm-hmm. But that day, I think I really got an understanding as to what happens when you just push and push and push, because pushing is not the answer for everything. And I guess the acronym that used to be, that is still out there, is pray until something happens. Yeah. But so that still applies. Mm-hmm. But the physical, mental, emotional driving through and against a wall is not the answer. I had to, the Lord showed me that day, is that some days you just got to stop mm-hmm. and rest.
Yeah.
And figured it out. And so that day when Jackson was here, that Thursday, I had already been crying that morning. You guys didn't know that. All morning long.
Yeah.
From like 4 o'clock till then. And when he came in, he was already, I don't know if he was crying then, or maybe he saw me crying and he started to cry. I don't know. Perfect storm. Mm-hmm. So we just sat there on the bed and we watched two or three Hulu shows. Like I caught up on all my Hulu shows. Yeah, we binge watched. You know, he didn't go to school. I called school. And we just sat there. Mm-hmm. I wiped his tears. He wiped my tears. We didn't even say a whole lot that day. Mm-hmm. But I just needed a moment of like, man, I just, and that's why I like, I think I like why we have that pool table now. And I'm thankful to the fact that the family that gave us that pool table. Mm-hmm. Because to me, the pool table is like the dinner table.
I know it relieves stress sometimes.
And we can talk sitting around the table. You know, we tell stories and do stuff. So I guess, and the show is ending up. So we got to, we remind parents, look, you got to find stuff to connect, ways to connect with your, each other, spouses, with your kids. We bought that bingo game, the actual authentic with the bingo rolling thing. I bought that for Steinmart. Shout out to Steinmart. Shout out to the Pooper make this little bingo thing. And it was only $9.
That, I know, that game was fun when we all played that.
Yeah. So, again, you're listening to The Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. My son, Evan, in here, 12 years old. Parents, listen to your kids. Take a minute. It's not that serious. It's just moments when you just need to stop and rest. People say, stop and smell the roses. Yeah, that's a saying that sounds kind of funny, but it's almost your parents need to stop and listen and go from there. Take an evaluation of to where you are, where your kids are, where your spouses are. Not spouse is, spouse is, right? We're not living in Utah. We have multiple wives and husbands. But we have to understand where we are. Take a moment. Ask God to show us. Give all of our cares over to Him and let Him restore us. Love y'all. See you next week. It's been a long time. Preach up. You got it. I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.